Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Well, buenos dias. Welcome to Reflections. Hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday, and wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. I always, you know, express my gratitude for your listening to me and for your feedback, suggestions. You can call 939-333-1010. Constructive criticism, very welcome. So 939-333-1010. And basically, when you open up the Nuevo Día, you know, para comenzar tu día, and I use it an awful lot, these little sayings by different people. This is by Margaret Mead, the anthropologist. It was back in my time. It was, in fact, one of the courses that I took in college that really impressed me. I really liked that course. I still remember it was way out in one corner of the campus. And from there, I used to have to go to the hockey practice. It was a long haul. Luckily, I had a bicycle that worked out and was very, very practical. But anyway, para comenzar tu día, this saying by Margaret Mead, and I'll say it's first in Spanish and, you know, kind of roughly translated. It says, nunca dudes que una pequeña cantidad de personas reflexivas y comprometidas pueden cambiar el mundo. De hecho, siempre ha sido así. So roughly translated, it says, never doubt that a small number of reflective and committed persons can change the world. In fact, it has always been like this. And I think it's a very true statement. Unfortunately, a small people of reflective and committed can also, you can go for bad and for good. That is another, I don't think that's what she meant. I think she's looking at it positively, but unfortunately, a small group of persons, reflective and committed, can change the world in a very bad way. But I think let's look at it positive. And we have over you know, number of programs, especially I remember Papa Francisco, and Padre Canse, Pope Francis, really bore down on that, and I use that his saying an awful lot. You know, we've got to get out of the grandstand and down into the playing field, and execute. You know, plan, get involved, and execute. You know, that last word is really critical, and we'll get into, you know. By coincidence, getting off the grandstand, it's kind of a sporting world kind of a metaphor, right? So we'll get into that a little bit later, some of the people that were going to be in important contests, or athletes, and some of the lessons we can learn from that, and we'll get into that. And in terms of getting involved, I want to sort of go over a couple of the assignments that I have as president, one of San Juan Rotary and the other one as the Coalición Comunidad San Patricio, and what's been happening there. Interesting transfer of power in San Juan Rotary, and, you know, overlooking, reflecting on the past year. And then in the Coalición, some controversy respecting a particular piece of property that a large tree was cut down, and the community was in arms, you know, with that happening, and so you know, we've had, oh man, I've dedicated a lot of time in about 5 days to that, and I want to sort of go over that and some of the lessons, you know, from that. And I'd like to end with a book I'm reading. It's by Steve Litter, and it's the title is For You When I Am Gone, and it's 12 Essential Questions to Tell a Life Story, and I want to bear down on one particular chapter and end the program on that. And the question for that particular chapter, which is chapter 3, is what makes you happy? Very much, relevant to this program. And I'm not happy with that particular question. So we'll discuss that in the third segment. But before that, I there's a number of articles that, popped up and I want to reflect on, and some of them is things that we discussed in the past, and some of them kind of tie in with another article, et cetera. And the first one is an article on Tuesday, 15th of July, and it discusses the Trump administration, both with an executive order that he issued, and then this was the statements by the Justice Department dealing with what you could say, English only for the United States. And basically they're instructing all of the administrations, administrative agencies and departments to eliminate as something costly, as something unnecessary, as not good for the United States. It should have only one language. And with everybody learning and working off of that language for unity and what they consider divisiveness with the different languages, so that is it's ongoing. It has been on and off, the English only movement. It is now definitely on, and what I reflect on, whether that's a good or bad policy, I try to keep out of politics, but from reflecting on that, what I have mentioned on a number of occasions is that whether we like it or not, in Puerto Rico, we should be developing a bilingual society where all of our citizens feel relatively comfortable with both languages, and not as, unfortunately, has continued to happen, irrespective of the administrations, where too many of our citizens do not understand English, and some of them have moved to the States and spent 10, 12 years in the States, and they come back to Puerto Rico, and they really don't understand English. They stayed in their enclave, worked with other Latin American Spanish-speaking cohorts, employees, and all, and dealt, completely in the Spanish language, and didn't take the opportunity to learn English to the extent they should have. So anyway, that's a reflection. It's something that I keep on harping on. I mentioned, when I gave the course at the Puerto Rico the University of Puerto Rico Law School. I gave a seminar for about 6 years, and I did it in English, and it was kind of shocking. But I wanted to get across the message that the law students, really had to and should really make a point to feel comfortable in English, especially when you have a federal court and then access to U.S. Clients, and so that's call it a prejudice, but it's a strong position. We should be a bilingual society, and our signs that we have, and everything that we have, the museums that should be in the two languages. I found it always ironic that Iran and China have more bilingual signs and in their museums and their public transportation and all than we have, which it should not be. Okay, well, that's one art. The other, this is not so much, there's an article, but I purchased a scale, you know, to weigh myself. The one went kaput, the last one we had. And two things. First of all, I continue to marvel at how inexpensive some things are. A good bottle of wine, for $12, $11, $9, I just don't understand how it can be produced, bottled, corked, transported through various levels of distribution, and then sold to us for that amount of money. And the same thing happened with this scale. It was less than $13, and beautiful, works well. Just the battery is worth, if you purchase the battery, is worth about $5. So just the battery. But one of the things I found kind of interesting is it went on to things you should know about managing your weight. And of course, the first thing, as we all know, diet, exercise, are the two key things. And then in terms of its recommendations, the simple rules, and some of them I have followed, first of all, weigh yourself once a week, not every day. I know a lot of people don't believe in that, and so be it. But weigh yourself once a week at the same day of the week, basically at the same time and with the same clothes, in the same place and with the same scale. So those are the recommendations, and I basically do that. I weigh myself once a week, and it's sometimes I do it before exercise, sometimes after exercise. That's because I kind of forget, but I sort of like to see what particular exercise means in terms of the reduction and all. But first of all, how inexpensive some things are when you think of what it took to produce them and to pass them through different distribution channels and get and we buy it at a store. That's an interesting, and by coincidence, I always love the synergism. On Wednesday, an article came out in the Washington Post, and basically on a study of almost 5,000 people in all levels and through all areas of the world, and basically studying whether persons that do farming and hunting in terms of their metabolism versus people in the States and in the upper developed countries, whether the metabolism is different. And they found that basically the body adapts to your whatever you do. If you do a lot of exercise during the day, or whether you do very little, the body adapts to it, and you don't lose that much weight based on your activity. I mean, that's what the study indicated. And then in terms of what was really critical with eliminating processed foods and eating, nutritious and foods cooked nutritionally, not too surprising. It's been clear for a long time to me that although exercise helps keep your weight down, the most important thing is what you eat and how much you eat. You can do all the exercise in the world. If you overeat, you're not going to reduce. And the more important part is that. And that article wasn't that surprising for me. But it's interesting that, it confirms what we all know. The important thing is what you eat. So take that to heart. There was an interesting article, and hopefully, the the presentation on Luis Muñoz Rivera and celebrating his birth. I thought it was a particular, you know, year, 150 or whatever, but it's not because of the year. It's 166 years since he died, because he was born in 1859. So, but it was the date, you know, July 17th. So, Rafael Cox Alomar wrote an article in Nuevo Dia in the Opinion on the 15th on that day, and you know, celebrating his life, he's going to be giving a talk in the evening at that Fundación Luis Muñoz Marín. So, he's one of these interesting patriots who's covered, you know, both the end of the Spanish are controlled by Spain, and then with 1898, then being controlled by the United States, and in 1997, he achieved something that he fought very hard for, was the Carta Autonómica. From Penn, they gave us a lot of autonomy, and short-lived, of course, with what happened with 1898 and the Spanish-American War. And then he continued to fight for autonomy, with the United States. But, you know, an interesting thing, I've been working a lot with the Luis Muñoz Rivera Park, and I've discussed in different programs. We're trying to get a monument for peace with the sculptor Nilda Comas, and she's been on this program at that park, and also kind of in front of that park is that Hotel Normandy. I went to a presentation by A Bordo de Normandy. It's a novel relating to that with Chinche Rodriguez, Benitez Rodriguez, excuse me. We're going to cover that in another moment. If I get into that, you know, it'll be a while. And I hope to have her I talked to her. I went to a presentation of the book, and I hope to have her on this program, and we'll be discussing the whole process of a novel and you know, this very Félix Benítez Rexach, and very colorful person, and his wife. So that'll be an interesting thing. So we've run out of time in the first segment. Those are the little kind of tidbits I wanted to reflect on and see if we can learn a little bit from. We'll be right back, and I'm going to go into some kind of take a deep breath. We had some tough losses in the sporting world, and so I want to go in with some of the lessons from that that we can take to heart. Okay, so this is Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. We'll be back right after the pause.